Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just arrived collection of swim and other sun ready silhouettes.
Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made to be seen Very Sexy push-up bra in on-trend hues like green, citron, and black shine.
Rewind to the future with the VS Archive swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu. Staying consistent is hard, but it's important if you want to see results.
Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies right now, and they're one of the only brands that are committed to your health.
They only use the cleanest and purest ingredients in their formulas. No seed oils, no preservatives, or toxins.
Let me walk you through my morning routine. I wake up, make my coffee, and then make sure to fill my water with Symbiotica Pure Hydration before my early morning workout. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and I've loved every supplement I've tried so far. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every month.
Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use code POD for 15% off your subscription order.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Two Teas in a Pod. But today it is just one tea, and we have a very special guest, Jessel Tank from The Real Housewives of New York. Jessel is a fashion publicist who has worked for Condé Nast International, Stella McCartney, Celine, Victoria Beckham, Michael Kors, and Westfield. She currently runs a boutique agency called The No that specializes in consulting to newly formed brands. She is also busy launching her own e-commerce platform that aims to make Southeast Asian fashion more accessible. She also has a big voice on New York. We have a lot of questions for her, so I am so excited to bring her in. Make sure that you follow her on Instagram and that you're watching The Real Housewives of New York, because you don't want to miss anything that's going on there.
Hi.
Oh, hey, you look hot.
You know,
I like the hair length. I think the hair length, it's like fresh and youthful and sexy. I'm into it.
Yeah, I need it. Do you know when you watch yourself on camera, on TV, and you're just like, fuck, I look like such a dump. Like, my hair was long, didn't have layers. It was like, just lackluster. And I literally just went to my hairstylist and I was like, do what you gotta do. Just chop it all off.
Yeah, so, that's anyway. How I felt about my upper lip my first season. I was like, what am I doing here?
Well, it's weird. It's so crazy because you can't fix it because it's like camera, right? So like, even for me, I'm like, oh my God, like, no wonder why people get facial work done after watching themselves on like TV for 4 months straight. Like, there's definite things you can improve. So,
and it's easy. I'm like, okay, there's this little thing called Botox. You get a lip flip and all of a sudden, not so much of my gum is showing.
Right. Yeah, but you know, the Bravo fans are going to notice every little thing, and it is so insane. I don't think anyone has paid so much attention to me, like, since I mean not even my husband, to be fair. So kind of crazy.
I know, everyone notices every little detail.
Everything, yeah.
I have a lot of questions. It's just me today because Tamara is filming the Real Housewives of Orange County reunion today.
Oh, God bless her.
Do you watch Orange County?
I don't. But I love Tamara. We've been talking, we've been DMing. She's been amazing.
Okay, good. I know she loves you. We always say everybody's only as good as last week's episode. So we're like, some weeks we're like, we're loving Jessel, and some weeks we're like, no. Why did she
roller coaster? I know. It's a roller coaster. But listen, I think I had my I had my down. Like, I started low. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I started It was a rocky start for me, but hopefully people are starting to see, like, I'm not that serious and funny. Like, you know, it's not that serious, people.
It's not that serious. I agree. So of course there's one question that every single fan wants to know the answer to, but I'm going to wait. You're going to have to listen to the majority of the podcast, guys, before I even ask it. But I'll start out with, I'll give you some softballs to start. How's that?
All right, let's start easy. How about
let's that? Let's start easy. How did you get asked to be on The Real Housewives of New York? And did you watch any past seasons prior to starting?
So being British, it's not really a thing there. And I know that a lot of people are so, I mean, they are so completely enamored with the show. I wasn't like that, but I did watch Roni just because I lived in New York. And so for me, it was, it felt like, you know, you're seeing the city, you're seeing the women living in the city. It felt like I could connect. So I was an early Roni fan. Bethany was my girl back then. But I was a fan of Roni. But look, at the end of the day, it's a show about six women living on the Upper East Side. Like, it was a very, I guess, small microcosm into what the city actually has to offer. And so when Bravo were going to reboot, I was very interested off the bat because New York is a multicultural, multifaceted, diverse, you know, it's a melting pot of people. And for them to want to showcase different types of women from different walks of life was very exciting for me. And they were looking for an organic group of friends, which, you know, we are. And there you have it.
And leading on to the show, who were you closest with? Because I feel like we missed some stuff. Because when I interviewed Aaron, I hadn't been able to watch the show yet. So I didn't really have any backstory. It feels like we're starting like a couple weeks into filming. Like the first episode, I'm like, all right, there's shit we've missed. We know there's a girl that's no longer on. So how long did you guys actually film before we're seeing what we actually are seeing?
Yeah, it wasn't that long. I think it is exactly right. It was about 2 weeks, I would say.
2 weeks. But who did you come on closest with?
Uba and I share a common best friend. He's actually someone that I've known. He's one of the very first people I met in New York. His name's Justin. He's in the entertainment world and the film producing world, production world. So Uba and I have him in common. And so he's kind of the missing link between us. She's someone that I connected with off the bat. Just we have so much in common. She's also just my favorite person to be around.
So fun.
She's the best. She's the person that you want to do everything with. Like, she's so easygoing and positive, right? Like, you want that type of energy around you. But, you know, again, being in fashion, it's a very small industry. You sort of know each other. Jenna and I knew of each other. Sai and I have rubbed shoulders, of course, a million times. Bryn and I share her common best friend. So really the only person I didn't know that well was Erin.
Okay.
And was brought into the fold with the girl that is no longer. So I think it was, you know, for us that we're already in the fashion industry and we're very much like, it was like 1 degree of separation, I would say.
That makes sense. And then there are rumors that you left Texas and moved to New York City specifically for the show. Is there any truth to that?
No, it's so funny. I keep bringing this up, but when that rumor came out, I think The Sun like did an article and it was like Donald Trump's like mugshot on one side and then my face on the other. I was like, how is this a headliner news? Like, this is so crazy, people. Look, did I live in New York City my entire time that I moved? No. My husband's from LA. We got married in 2014 and we moved back to LA because when you get married, you're like, shit, I have to buy a house. I have to like invest in like a future. And so we thought California was going to be that place for us.
Right.
When I had the twins, the twins were actually born in LA. When I had them, all I wanted was my mom. It was like, yeah. I need my family. I need support. I need a support system. And so we had very much been talking about coming back to New York just because it would be a really good middle ground for from London and then from LA as well.
But hold on, to really get it down to it, how long before filming were you back in New York?
Oh, I was talking to a realtor in January of last year, but we had actually moved to New York last summer. I was talking to producers, but nothing was solid. Right. I mean, I think it was, I was asked to be on the show late summer, I think it was like August time. And I was already here. I mean, you can't just uproot your entire family, find a place in New York, get everything set up and start filming for a show.
Right.
And so like, it's just, it's not realistic, people. I would love for that to like my magic wand and just like whip it up, but it didn't work like that. Like we were in New York a good, I would say 3-4 months.
Yeah. So, but you were living in New York prior to that too. So you actually have had some roots in New York prior.
Very much. I mean, all my close friends are here. I met my husband here. I started my career here. And you know, it's also New York is a place where like you never really leave, you know, and being in the fashion world, even though I was living in LA, I would come back to New York at least once a month, at least twice a month for work purposes. So I like to call myself bi-coastal. And, you know, we never really truly leave. I mean, we're here for almost a decade prior to that.
And then you said that you did used to watch Roni. A lot of fans are comparing you to Ramona, saying you both say things you are unaware of how they come across. Who do you agree? And if not, who do you compare yourself most to?
That was interesting to me. I've also been called the villain on the show, which is kind of crazy because I'm the sweet little Indian girl and now I'm being like villainized. But I do say what's on my mind. I think my delivery and my tone, a lot of it comes from the fact that I am British. I have a very dry sense of humor.
I've heard that one before.
Come on. It's true. And I got to tell you, when I first moved here, it was a struggle. I mean, I moved here in 2006. It was kind of a struggle. People don't really get my sense of humor off the bat, you know? Yeah. And so I felt like I was going back to that moment on the show where you sort of people have to get to know you a little bit more to really get a grip of who you are and how you act. And even with the way I talk to my husband, everyone's like, oh my gosh, she's such a bitch to him. But like, we've been married for 10 years and we have a very real relationship. It's not like I sit on his lap and make out every 5 minutes. It's not real shit, you know?
Yeah, it's not reality. And you actually are sharing it, which we'll get a little bit more into that in a second. But what would you say the biggest surprise to you once you started filming or watching this back has been, other than being the villain, which I've been the villain as well. I've also been like the sweetheart, like it every year is something different. So you have no idea. Like we all have 82 personalities. It's called, you know, being a mom and stressed.
Like wearing a number of hats. I know you're wearing so many hats. What was the most surprising thing to me watching it back? I think for me, it was people are so quick to jump to a conclusion. I think it was like episode one had aired and all of a sudden they had made up their minds on who you are, right?
Right.
After watching like maybe it was like 20 minutes of me on the show. And they had literally created this entire narrative for me. I'm getting a divorce. I'm rude to my mother. I have no manners. I mean, it was a whole thing. They almost created this like avatar of who Jessel is. And that was just very, I think I thought I had more faith in people. I thought they would like give me the benefit of the doubt, like not to just make such snap judgments off the bat, you know?
Right.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes.
When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy Collection. In on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron.
For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat.
Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. Now in this season's must-have shades and patterns.
Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Would you say that your tagline this season is true to what you are? I think it's, I always bring the flavor. It's not my fault you don't have any taste. What were some of your other options? And do you still stand by the tagline? I've had some of the worst, by the way.
Oh my God. Well, it's funny. I just spoke about this. I wanted something that, I mean, first of all, it's how do you pick a sentence that basically describes like you? Like, it's so hard for that, right? And so I struggled, and I actually was talking to a good friend of mine. He's a writer for Condé Nast Traveler and for Wall Street Journal. He's also a huge Real Housewives fan. And I was like, look, I don't want to use the word spice because that's so cliche. I'm Indian, like, duh. So I want to like have something that's, you know, fun, that's a nod to fashion, that's a nod to my background and my culture, but not be so obvious. And so we worked together and we ended up with that. And I think it's perfect because, you know, I do bring the flavor. I think I'm very animated and I bring a lot to the show. And a lot of people don't have the taste because they can't get with the program.
So they can't figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't say Uba because we already know she kind of gets along with everybody. But who would you say now, once you're like finished your first season, that you're closest with other than Uba? And then is there anyone you're not currently talking to?
Yeah, I think I've always been very close to Jenna, you know, lingerie gate aside. We have always just, she's someone that I really respect, first of all. And she's also someone that I would like gut check things with. Like if I think something, you know, if I'm about to make a big move or I'm about to do something or say something, I'll call Jenna and she'll give me the advice and it's perfect. I would say like 100% of the time.
But do you feel like she's trying to produce you to say what she wants you to say so she doesn't have to do the dirty work?
Good point. No, I don't think, I think Jenna outside the show is Jenna. Like she really truly is herself. And she gives really good advice and she has a very good radar on things and people. And so she's someone that I really do confide in. I think the other person is Sai, and that's someone that, you know, it took me a while to warm up to Sai. I think she has a very hard exterior. But I respect her a lot. And we share, you know, our love for fashion. And she's a mother. She also has a son called Rio. So we have a lot in common in that respect.
And then anyone you're not talking to?
There's no one that I'm not talking to. I mean, there's definitely people that, you know, I'm not as close to. Do you know what, though? I would have said Erin, but that's not true. I think that Erin and I, we had some growing pains, but I think that we're good. Like, I'm good with everyone. I really am Switzerland. I'm
mutual. Were you just speaking with her with Tori Becca?
So, okay. No, but I know it came across that way. I know exactly what Tori Becca is. I was walking to that coffee, and in that moment, I noticed like 3 or 4 new restaurants that I'd never seen before. I was like, oh, this is crazy. There's so many new things popping up. And in my head, up and coming wasn't the right term, first of all. But in my head, it was like, oh, there's so many new places. Tribeca in itself is not somewhere that you go to socialize. Like, I think you have a nice dinner there. There's some great restaurants. Is it the place where you go, like, and you make plans and you go with your girlfriends to have, like, a crazy night? No. It's very
residential. But it's a place you live, and they have beautiful, it's beautiful apartments and condos. Yeah. And, you know, so, definitely. Yes. Okay, yeah. So that was your point. It's not like the hot, fun place to go. It's established, yes.
100%. Okay.
All right, yeah. That makes sense.
Clear that up.
Well, I don't know where the Rainbow Room premiere party was, but I did hear that you may have thrown up. Were you sick? Were you wasted? What's the deal?
I wish I was wasted. I swear to God, this was... Can you imagine? Like, that was my... foray. That was the premiere. That was like the kickoff to the season. And I had just flown in from Greece the day before. I flew back. I left my family in Greece and I flew back for the premiere. And I was feeling fine all day. I was halfway down the red carpet and I started to feel like dizzy and nauseous. So I took a seat, had some water, hadn't drank not even a drip of anything at this point. And all of a sudden it was just downhill from there. And I was about to go home and NBC's team was like, listen, Andy's gonna announce you guys. Do you feel like you'll be able to take a picture? Do you think you'll be able to do it? And I just felt, you know that feeling where you just wanna throw up? Like it was that wave of nausea it was like coming like this. So I said yes. I did the picture. I had security escort me. They were literally like, I was like, I gotta go. They were escorting me out. So it looked like, okay, this girl's like unruly. She's taking something. She's drunk. I get it. I took one step outside of the room and I just couldn't hold it in. It was so bad.
It could be worse. You could have been like the diarrhea person on the plane from like going to Barcelona. God,
what the hell was that? Delta. Figure it out. That was kind of crazy.
Also, I did like I heard the audio now and they're like, then they sprayed vanilla, blah, blah, blah. And then they landed and had to rip out the carpets. I'm frightened for the day they release who this poor person is that like couldn't keep it together. Like my heart is broken for that person because you know what? When you gotta go, like I don't know what I would do. Like you try to hold your butt. Like, what are you gonna do?
Butt plug. I don't know. But can you imagine like, okay, that poor person is on a plane. I mean, yeah, that was not ideal. But there was like half of New York press was at that premiere. So then I come home, my husband tells me he's still in Greece. He tells me, hey, listen, I didn't want to worry you, but the kids are sick, I'm sick, your mom is sick, like everyone it was like a bug. I was like, you a-hole, like why wouldn't you tell me I went to the premiere and I threw up? And he was like, dude, I'm so sorry, it was worse.
He's like, we have been too, it's a mess over here.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Sun, of course, like the Sun is just not my friend right now. It was like page six of the Sun. They announced it and it was just, but you know what was funny about that, and I talked about this a lot, I thought it was going to be my demise. I was like, this is it, I'm ruined. The comment to the contrary were like iconic, Roni is back, like it was loved it. I was like, wait, what is happening? This is so weird.
People love to watch other people's pain.
Hot mess, yeah.
A hot mess, like a train wreck, any kind of situation, anytime you think it's going to be bad, it's going to be your best thing.
But
something that I've also seen a lot about online is you and your cast have been very open about struggles and childhoods. And you specifically spoke about being an immigrant who had to work your way up in the US. But then all these people online accused you of attending an elite private school in London. Is this true?
No. And you know what's funny about that is that episode aired and somehow, miraculously, the next day, someone made a fake website and basically connected me to the school that I've never heard of. It's St. Paul's in Hammersmith, which is a very elite school. I think the fees are like $40,000 a year, which by the way is like my entire family's like household income at the time. So And someone posted it on Twitter. It was a writer. And I messaged him and I said, like, this is not true. And I was like, I have pictures of where I went to school. I went to public school. Like, I'm not going to make that shit up. Because it's everywhere. I mean, the internet is a wealth of information. And I think being on a reality TV show, you cannot say something if it's a complete opposite of what you're saying. People are going to find out.
No, there's no escaping it.
There's no escaping it. And I was mortified because I was like, shit, well, I just said this. And now this is like, it's so far from the truth.
And then you feel like if you double down and you comment on it, then people are going to be like, now she's defensive.
Like, now she's defensive. And now she's, you know, she's lying. And she did grow up, you know, in a certain way. And I didn't. I mean, listen, I wish I had the means to go to an amazing elite private school. Like, but I didn't. My parents came from Africa to England. They started from scratch. We didn't have the means to do that. And that's not something I would lie about because that's effed up.
Yeah, we would be, if you were lying about it, we'd be having a totally different conversation right now. But instead, right, I'm going to talk to you about something that when you were speaking about your IVF stuff, it really hit home to me. And I've shared this on the pod before because I also had the same, you know, type of issues. I had multiple miscarriages, went through IVF, and I know how trying it can be. And I can't even imagine like having to keep that from my family. Even on my last round of IVF, I remember my dad and my husband looking at me and saying, "This, you cannot do this again. If it doesn't take, you're done."
Yeah. How many rounds do you have? Do you mind me asking?
Honestly, like it sounds crazy, but I've almost like blacked it out. But there was like 6 or 7 rounds, I think. I had a couple of miscarriages, a couple that didn't take at all. And then my last round of IVF, I just didn't, you know how like after a couple of days they have you come in and check your numbers?
Yeah.
I was like, it's Christmas. I'm not going to go check my numbers. Like, put them in, and then I'm going to go enjoy the holidays. I'm going to assume I'm not pregnant, and then I'm just going to live my life and not be a stress case and just see what happens. And I came home and checked my numbers 2 weeks after I was supposed to, and they were like, he's thriving. And I was like, thank you, God.
Like, oh my God.
So, I mean, it is a lot. So I know going through that. So it's kind of a tie-in question for me, because I know you shared already on the show, but when I was going through that, I was really struggling sexually with my husband and also post having my son, because I had so much fear, and so did he, around having sex while I was pregnant. Yeah. Because I was scared of having a miscarriage.
Correct.
Like, really scared. And then I put that on him leading up to even before the IVF process, how formulaic you have to make sex to try to get pregnant on the day of being ovulated, like all of that. So I just want you to know, like, this is a common thing that women go through. And it's not just about like people, I see people online, well, maybe if she was more confident or this. No, like, it's a trauma.
Yeah. No, and thank you for saying that, because I wanted to share the reality behind IVF, behind infertility, behind postpartum struggles. Like, it's real stuff that people really, we have to, A, normalize the conversation, and B, like, stop. You have to be more sensitive to that stuff. Like, you can't just assume my husband's cheating on me or things are going south in our relationship because of things that we went through. And it was, I don't know how long your process was. Mine, end to end, was 4 years. That's a long time to be going through something. It was a big part of my life. And it really, you change who you are as a person, right? Like, I wasn't the girl that was going out and having fun. I was eating vegetables all day, like, because I thought that would help me get pregnant. and sleeping at 8 p.m. and drinking tons of water, and I cut out alcohol. Like, I became a completely different person. And it was,
and then did you have any postpartum, like, I had postpartum anxiety and like where I just became obsessive about everything and trying to control every part of our life, even after my son was born. And then that added a whole nother level of stress. I mean, it took over a year for us to get back on track.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. And it's exactly what happened to us. And, you know, the twins were, I had two, right? So they were born premature. They were in NICU, in intensive care. I slept on the floor in their nursery from like the day we brought them home to like 6 months in, because, you know, there's like all this just stuff that you're worried about as a new mom. And I don't care. I don't care what people think, because at the end of the day, I'm better for it. My husband was patient. He was so supportive. And, you know, we have an amazing, thriving family. But I did bring it up, and I know people are like, oh, shock, horror. Like, you know, she's talking about this stuff on national TV. It's real stuff that we have to talk about as women. Yeah. Right?
And normalize it and be able to say, like, I'm like getting emotional hearing you when you said NICU, because my son was in the NICU too. But when you're trying to find yourself post having a child, the last thing you're thinking about is like being this sexual icon to your significant other. Like, yeah. You know, things that you maybe were willing to do before, you're just not. And then I remember going through a stage. So if you guys are listening and this has ever happened to you, I remember going through a stage where I was like, everything he did pissed me off. Because he wasn't able to fix my concerns or my worries or whatever it was, or anything he said about my clothes or my body or any, like, I just wasn't in a place to hear it. Yeah. And I think you have to have those hard conversations. And now we've set up, like, people joke, but I'm like, we've set up a sex schedule.
Yeah. Can I get on that? Like, what is it? Share it with me.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes.
When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy Collection. In on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron.
For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat.
Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. Now in this season's must-have shades and patterns.
Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Okay, so the sex schedule is, like, we know our prime times when to have sex are. So, like, are your kids in preschool yet?
It's starting next week.
Yes. Okay. So, well, first off, have you gotten in yet?
Have we gotten into preschool?
Have you gotten it in?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm 2 years down the line now. So it was, you know, it's crazy because also I think it was Erin that was like, she hasn't had sex for 2 years. It was really only a year. Because I mean, it was about a year postpartum that I was kind of in this like funk. But
yeah,
watch the show, guys. We don't do it on TV, but like, you know.
Is there going to be a bathtub scene? I really hope, because I love when housewives do bathtub scenes.
No, there is no bathtub. That's a little too X-rated. But we being on the show and talking about this stuff actually lit like a fire under my ass, because I was like, hey, like we gotta get ourselves back on track. And it's very easy to get comfortable and to like, you know, ride the wave of reading a book in bed and then falling asleep. I mean, it's very easy. It's very comfortable. But I needed this to happen, you know?
And plus, like, even as you're watching it back, you're like, oh, these are things I could do differently. I remember seeing that too. But essentially the sex schedule is, we know once the kids go to school and before we like start work, like after we've done our workout, is like our best time. So we have like, we don't actually have it in the calendar, but like the morning of, to kind of get the other person in the mood, we write what, like we say wiki, because when we were so broke when we first started dating, the bed would always go wiki 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 wiki, so we say wiki like at 9:30, and so then it's like this like running joke as we're trying to get the kids ready for school or head out to work or whatever it may be, and that we know we're gonna meet, and then it's, we kind of hold ourselves accountable to doing it, and then it just becomes easy and it's like effortless, and it's like, okay, we know we're doing this, and then once you do it, you always like it, but it's getting to do it.
The actual act of like doing it, because by the end of the day, I mean, you're so tired, you're like, god damn, like this is a lot, I don't want to do bedroom acrobatics, you know, right now.
And also like the hardest part, which, guys, listen, it's talking to your significant other about what you like now. Because that changes also after you have kids. Like there are certain things that I maybe liked before that I didn't like, you know, that I don't particularly love now, or vice versa. Like, it's just opening the dialogue. So I appreciate you talking about it. But do you think that, how's Pavitt felt about watching the show back? Because you guys do have that like bickering, you know, I feel like he's got the same sense of dry sense of humor that you do, which is why you guys get each other. But I don't know that necessarily people see it, even the Vietnam and going for the sandwich and all that kind of stuff. So
he's amazing. When we signed up to be on the show, I told him, you are going to be the breakout star. Like, he's so likable. He's so funny. People love his humor. And by the way, he's been ranking. There's something called the Real Housewives Power Ranking that a good friend Ira does. He's been in the top three for the past 3 weeks. I'm like, you're not even on the cast. And that's how much like I knew people were going to love him. He's really funny. He's the best partner in all of this. He truly is. And he knew how important it was for me to share, you know, all the struggles we go through as women. And he took a back seat, and he kind of let me air out all of our personal stuff on national TV, but was so amazing about it.
Well, that's great. And then where are you with thinking if you want to go through the journey again?
You know, I mean, you know more than anything, it's not easy. I can't get pregnant now. So I have to go through the whole like shit again. You know, it's going to be tough. I really want to do it. I don't know if he's mentally there yet. And I have to respect that. Like, I'm never going to push it on him. I think he's completely traumatized. Our twins are crazy. And so I think add like another person into the mix, it might push him over the edge, but it's TBD. We haven't said yes or we haven't said no yet, but it's a conversation.
It's a conversation. It's an open conversation, which then you could also, you never know, be like me. I really thought I could never get pregnant naturally. I went through all this IVF, all this whatever. And then at age 39, randomly got pregnant. Didn't know I was pregnant till 15 weeks. Like, Wait. Yes. Had no idea. Everybody on the cast of Beverly Hills thought I had mold poisoning, because I kept saying, like, I have vertigo. I feel sick. I know
what the heck you mean. Anyway,
so I was like, there's no way I'm pregnant. But like, either way, I do like how much that you share. And but did you get your way on the $60,000 Montessori school?
I didn't. No. I lost that. I mean, he's always been a win when it comes to like making sense, you know? But what's funny about that is I, another thing that people like probably don't get about me is when I'm making an argument, I go into the brain of puppets. So when I brought up Tom Cruise, his favorite movie is Top Gun. And I was like, oh, if I say Tom Cruise.
I was wondering why you brought up Tom Cruise. I'm like, he doesn't even see his daughter anymore.
I know, but I knew if I brought up the fact that his favorite, I mean, Tom Cruise is not his favorite actor, but that's his favorite movie. So right. I was like, oh, maybe if I make the connection, he'll be like a little bit more like open to it. And no, I still lost it. I mean, he's very practical. I still lost it, but it's
a- You gave it a good shot. So we have some rapid fire fan questions to ask you. Okay. Who has the most to answer to for at the reunion?
I think it's going to have to be Aaron.
Aaron? See, I think Aaron's like a shitster, but like I kind of appreciate it. Like she keeps the story moving. She repeats shit multiple times. Like I feel like you kind of need
that's
that.
That's why.
If you... yeah. Yeah. True. Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. Who from the cast has the best fashion?
I think it's a toss up between, Sai and Uba. I think they have a very, very cool individual style. And I know the fan favorite is Jenna, but Jenna just wears denim all the time. Like anyone can do that. She looks amazing. Yeah. And she's always rocking. But I think in terms of like actually tapping into like trends and stuff, it's going to be Uba and Sai.
Okay. So then now I hate to ask it, but the worst fashion.
So I don't think anyone has the worst fashion. I think that we all have our own individual styles. Some styles resonate more than others to me. So I think that like someone like a Jenna or an Erin, like, you know, they are very, very like girl next door in how they dress.
Saying they're basic?
Oh, you said they were basic. No,
I'm basic, so I can say it.
I think that they do with what they dress, how they feel comfortable. I will wear sequins that poke me in the ass and I don't care because I just want to look more is more. So
who is telling the truth in Cheesegate?
Oh, I gotta tell you, I don't know. It was such a cluster of like different viewpoints and so many conversations happened and I wasn't part of everything. But I think it's going to be aired out at the reunion. So stay tuned.
All right, fine. Who would you let decorate your home, Jenna or Aaron?
Jenna. I like marble. That's why.
Okay. Who would you let style you, Jenna or Sai?
Oh, I would say Sai.
Who has the best sense of humor and who has the worst?
Uba has the best sense of humor. The best. Actually, fuck Bryn too.
Good in her confessionals.
It is so good. It's a toss up between Uba and Bryn. I think they're different types of humor. Uba's very witty, but Bryn just her delivery is like on point. Like she is like Chris Rock funny. She's so funny.
But would you be annoyed if Bryn said to Pavitt what she said to Aaron's husband at the renewal vows or whatever it was?
Probably said much worse to Pavitt, to be fair. Like what I'm saying is Bryn, there is literally not one bone in her body that is intentionally trying to get your man. Like she's just funny.
She's just okay. Yeah. Worst sense of humor then.
I think Erin needs to work on her delivery. A comedic timing, I'll say.
how did I know? For season two, which cast member do you feel will come back pandering to fan reaction? Like, you know how some people will read what is said about them on Twitter and then they come back that new person?
Yeah.
Do you think anyone will be like that?
Yeah. I get it. Man, I don't know. I don't think anyone really, because we are so, like, I don't care what people, I don't think anyone cares what people think of them on this cast. I really don't.
I do love that we see you guys actually natural. You're not all glammed out 24/7. When you're at home with your kids, you're actually at home with your kids. Kids are doing regular things, throwing fits, peeing their pants, like whatever it may be,
right. Coloring on the walls. we don't have time. And I think that was one of the things that we said as a group is like, we're not going to sit in broad daylight with a full face of makeup and hair done, nails done, everything. Like, it just, we don't have the time to do that. We don't have 2 hours in our day to look that way. So
is Bran always wearing real fur?
I don't know if it's real, but she does love
And she has a fur on. I feel like it's 100 degrees and she has a fur on. I'm like, what is happening?
It's so funny. The best line was when Uber was like, Bryn looks like she's from the Mississippi River. Like down, she's like down in the Mississippi, or she looks like a pimp, like down in the Mississippi or something to that effect. But it was hilarious. It was so funny.
And does Uber ever get into it with anybody this season? Because she seems just like so cool and chill.
Yeah.
But I want to know, is there ever a moment?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. You haven't seen the trailer?
I mean, I have seen the trailer, but I feel like they always trick you. I feel like the trailer leads you to believe things are going down. And then it's like somebody got a phone call from their mom and they're upset. And like, I mean, I just watched Salt Lake City, this whole flash forward, and where I was thinking in my head it was about Jen Shah, but really it's about something else that happens later. And I'm like, ah, damn it. Read that wrong. So I can't trust it.
You got catfished. No, in our case, the trailer and what you see on the trailer is real life stuff. Yeah, it happens. And it's that dramatic. So
I'm excited to keep watching. How many episodes do we have left?
So we're episode 9. I'm not sure, but I think it's at least another 5 or 6. I mean, I don't know if the reunion counts in those, but
yeah. Do you think you have 2 or 3 reunions?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to go with 2, but let's watch this space because.
You want 3 because that's.
Yeah, I know.
You want 3.
I know. Like I told you, I'm hiding behind Andy, so whatever that means. But
oh my gosh. Well, we appreciate you coming on so much. We're loving watching you. Thank you for keeping us entertained. And you guys, is there any products or anything other than the Jenna Lyons collabs that you guys are all going to put on your Instagrams? Is there anything that you want to promote or talk about?
Some eyelashes today, actually. No, I mean, look, I'm launching my e-commerce platform is bringing Indian designers to the US and the UK, which I'm really excited about. I'm all about the fashions, and this is really my baby that I've been building for a while now. So yeah, I'm excited about that. And I haven't got into the whole branding world yet, but I wanted, let's talk. I mean,
that's the next thing, and just do it authentically, whatever it is that you believe in, as long as it comes off natural, then people want, you know, they want to relate to you. And so I appreciate all that you've done and being so open and authentic with us. And
it was so
I hope
great.
You get messy later again too.
Oh, it's going to happen. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry. I won't let you guys down.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time.
Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama.
A new season of The Kardashians starring, well, The Kardashians, of course.
And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean.
It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but look
so,
at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection, queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.